Our guest today is the CEO and Executive Director of the Illinois Medical District Commission, the IMD. The IMD is a 24/7, 365 environment that includes 560 acres of medical research facilities, four hospitals, labs, a biotech business incubator, universities, raw land development areas, and more than 40 healthcare-related facilities. Our guest today earned her doctorate degree from UIC School of Public Health, her Bachelor of Arts in Biology from Brandeis, and her master's degree from Benedictine University. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Suzette McKinney. Doctor? All right, Suzette.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Jay, and thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. Thank you all so much for being here today. Before I get started, I do have some special recognitions that I'd like to make. First and foremost, I would like to thank all of the Board of Commissioners from the Illinois Medical District for being here today. Commissioners O'Neill, Morado, Reed, thank you so much. It's great to see you, as well as our team from the IMD. Thank you all for being here. We have today our PR teams from Rise Strategy Group and Tate & Associates, as well as Intralink Global. Thank you all for being here. And two of our legal teams from Holland & Knight and Reyes Kirsten, thank you all for being here as well. My beloved class of 2019 from Leadership Greater Chicago is here today. Thank you all for being here, in addition to Maria and George. I have the most amazing group of big sisters that helped me keep it together, so I'm going to ask them to stand. Daryl, Sandy, Pam, Paula, and Veranda, thank you all for being here. And my very, very dear friend, Mia Gassi. Mia, thank you also for being here today. So it has been an entire year since I stood before you, and my visits to the City Club have become a way to mark the tremendous changes in the Illinois Medical District each year. And trust me, this year will be no different. We have exceptional progress to report. So exceptional and outstanding that the real deal just a few weeks ago called us red hot. The IMD is quickly becoming one of the richest centers for health, technology, and science enterprise in the nation. And for good reason. As Jay said earlier, we are home to four major hospitals and healthcare systems, over 40 other healthcare-related organizations, from research labs and biotech innovators to world-class universities, and two prestigious new mixed-use developments with Harrison Square, a 13-acre site that's anchored by the rehab of the historic Cook County Hospital, as well as the Gateway Chicago development, which is a 10-acre community edging Harrison, Damon, Ogden, and Polk. At a recent meeting of our board, we also advanced four additional development projects that are poised to move forward in the next few months just south of Roosevelt Road. All of these projects will bring new housing, hotels, retail, and more within walking distance of all of the businesses and great institutions that already call the IMD home. But more significantly, they are prime examples of sustainable economic development that will add jobs, residents, and income to the IMD. And today I just want to publicly state that we are so grateful to all of our visionary developers that are working with us, and you know who you are. All of these remarkable assets with phenomenal economic potential are just 2 miles west of the loop within the IMD's 560 acres. Yes, that sounds expansive, I know, but in truth, we're not even 1 square mile large, 0.875 miles to be exact. But the many assets that we have in the IMD make it easy to see why nearly 80,000 people visit us daily, including more than 29,000 employees who work there. And many of the jobs in the district are well-paying STEM positions, such as the 500 medical researchers in the district who are supported by hundreds of millions of dollars in research funding. Right now, we are generating $3.4 billion in economic activity annually, but all these numbers, from visitorship to employees to funding to economic activity, are growing daily, in many ways by leaps and bounds. Even better, besides being easy to get to thanks to our proximity to the Eisenhower Expressway, we're surrounded by some of the most promising and historic neighborhoods in the city, like Little Italy, the Near West Side, and Pilsen. And all you real estate pros here today know that Pilsen is just as red hot as we are, according to Crain Chicago Business. So with so much red-hot activity in the IMD and Pilsen, I must ask, can Garfield Park and Lawndale be far behind? I think not. Not only is the IMD in the center of some great real estate, but we're doing our part to help transform this entire quadrant of the city. But here's something that most of you don't know. Our location was intentional. The IMD was strategically positioned to affect precisely the kind of change that we're talking about and seeing today when it was created by the state of Illinois 78 years ago. And yes, you heard me right. The IMD was mandated 78 years ago as a health and technology district with the mission of attracting and retaining academic centers of excellence, world-class healthcare facilities, medical research facilities, and emerging high-technology enterprises, but also to generate economic growth and vitality. And as you can see, it has taken generations to build this incredible infrastructure. And despite the opinions of some, it can't be done overnight. Nor is there a better place in the city for it to be done. That's because specific powers were granted to the IMD all those years ago, namely full zoning authority to help us fast-track development. This has been a powerful tool that we've invoked not only strategically, but to great effect, because a rapidly changing healthcare industry needs modern infrastructure, which we are working swiftly to implement. We're talking about more comprehensive transportation options, district-wide security, and an advanced 5G network, and much, much more. Our status as a unit of local government has helped us come far closer to realizing our vision for the IMD as a thriving community of health, technology, and science organizations doing unparalleled work individually and collectively to move the well-being of our community forward block by block with scientific breakthroughs that have implications in every corner of the world. But above all this, we are doing this work with people purpose, because I see the IMD as the key to helping our city solve one of its most challenging problems, the lack of equity and economic distribution on the South and West sides. You see, the narrative about disinvestment and disinterest on the South and West sides is as prevalent today as it was when I was a young elementary school girl growing up in South Shore and as a teenager attending high school on the West Side. But today, real estate investors and developers are focused on federally sanctioned qualified opportunity zones, which are designed to encourage economic development in low-income communities as a promising source of long-term investment to spur transformative change. We need this kind of change to resolve the equity gap on the South and West sides and the rest of the city by aligning investment capital and human capital. From its geographic perch on the Near West Side, the IMD is an area that can be a catalyst for such change, and here's why. As a statistical community area, the Near West Side is 45% black. The IMD is obviously located there, and we have a qualified opportunity zone within our boundaries that is 69% black, according to census figures. Furthermore, in this opportunity zone tract, 36% of the population is below the poverty line, more than double the rate of Cook County. The median family income is $21,325, which is one-third the national average, with an unemployment rate of 25%. Segregation is debilitating, not just in the specific pockets of the city that I'm mentioning here, but throughout the Chicago region. The Metropolitan Planning Council's 2018 report, The Cost of Segregation, substantiates the link between segregation, job access, and income, and it estimates that if we reduce the level of black-white segregation to just the national median, the region as a whole would earn an additional $4.4 billion in income, and its gross domestic product would grow by another $8 billion. Yet we see the dire effects of segregation here in higher incidence of crime, poor health outcomes, and higher mortality rates. The west side of Chicago has some of the most staggering health outcomes in the entire city. A person in West Garfield Park, for example, is twice as likely to die of cancer as someone who lives a few miles away in the Loop. They are four times more likely to die from diabetes, nine times more likely to be killed by gun violence, and 57 more times likely to die by assault. Life expectancy is 69 years old, while a resident of the Loop is expected to live to the ripe old age of 85. Think about that for a minute. Now put that in the context of our state. Illinois is ranked an appalling 45th out of all 50 states for overall health care quality, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The sixth largest state in our country by population ranks 45th in health care quality, almost dead last. So now we know what the problems are. Let's discuss some of the solutions and how the IMD envisions addressing these disturbing problems. Our goal is to galvanize the public and private sectors to invest in life sciences innovation in the IMD and leverage government-sanctioned tools like qualified opportunity zones to truly create opportunities for those in our community. That's the IMD's purpose, to transform people's lives on the near west side of Chicago and surrounding areas for generations to come. It is a tall order, but it really can happen, and I'm here to explain why. So first, let me explain what an innovation district is, why life sciences innovation in our district is particularly important to the IMD's economic footprint, and how we intend to use our opportunity zone. The Brookings Institution defines innovation districts as geographic areas where leading-edge anchor institutions and companies cluster and connect with startups, business incubators, and accelerators. So they're stimulating environments where people work, meet, network, brainstorm, and socialize. We've all seen how Chicago has grown as a technology meeting ground. We have first-class educational institutions and a workforce. In fact, perhaps the nation's youngest workforce, since the West Loop is home to the largest percentage of millennials in the nation. And millennials are the largest age group in Cook County. And these young, vibrant workers want to be in the thick of things at incubators like 1871, which has helped nurture startups here in Chicago. But bottom line, Chicago has offered companies, both large and small, the opportunity to grow within a few miles of downtown, and the transit options to get people there continue to improve. More importantly, innovation districts have become economic hubs. Brookings scholar Bruce Katz pointed out that innovation districts have the unique potential to spur productive, inclusive, and sustainable economic development. At the time of sluggish growth, they provide a strong foundation for the creation and expansion of firms and jobs by helping companies, entrepreneurs, universities, researchers, and investors across sectors and disciplines co-invent and co-produce new discoveries for the market. At a time of rising social inequality, they offer the prospect of expanding employment and educational opportunities for disadvantaged populations, given that many innovation districts are close to low and moderate income neighborhoods. And at a time of inefficient land use, extensive sprawl, and continued environmental degradation, they present the potential for denser residential and employment patterns, the leveraging of mass transit, and the repopulation of urban cores. By the way, at a recent conference on opportunity zones, which was hosted by our own city clerk, Anna Valencia, and where Bruce was speaking, he said, and I quote, "The IMD is the best economic opportunity to revitalize the west side of Chicago." And that brings us to life sciences, why they matter so much to Chicago, and why they need to be centered in the IMD to affect true, long-standing change. Life sciences encompasses everything from medicine and physiology to ag tech and biotechnology. Life science research helps us fight disease, feed our families, and hunt for new fuel sources. Humanity benefits from the life sciences in big, life-changing ways through its huge impact on human health and economic development. The next generation of life science innovations will improve the health of whole populations by preventing diseases rather than simply curing them. Among the solutions to achieve this will be unique health delivery processes and systematic real-time data collection to improve patient outcomes. And the IMD has an entire community where these solutions can be tested and refined. These contributions are particularly relevant for those that live in economically disadvantaged areas where mortality can drop by 40% just because you've crossed the zip code. Now, if you look at the economics of life sciences as a whole, the industry is bigger and getting bigger. It's big and it's getting bigger. It now numbers 86,000 businesses and employs more than 1.73 million people nationally. But more significantly, these employment numbers have grown by 19% since 2001. That's about twice the growth of employment overall. And new businesses have grown at a whopping 40% since 2001. More importantly, life sciences have attracted $23 billion in venture capital investment in 2018, a disproportionate share of VC money overall. Life sciences is also a huge engine for job creation and economic development. And that's because for every dollar invested in life sciences yields an exponential return. For example, $1 of life sciences research increases business activity by $2.43. And $1 in life science industry output generates an additional $1.27 in output throughout the rest of the economy. And for every life science job, an additional 3.57 jobs are created to support it in the rest of the economy. We have all of this information in the white paper that we published this year on our website for anyone who wants to take a closer look at these numbers. But for me, the biggest news and my favorite stat is that life sciences creates jobs for the full spectrum of educational levels. In fact, 40% of life sciences jobs require only a high school diploma or GED. Despite the enormous opportunities that life sciences offers, Chicago has lagged far behind other states in aligning private and public interests to create the transformation needed in our great city. Lab spaces are often office park fortresses, self-contained campuses with few occasions to interact with peers, and they're distant from the private investment and research funding that can create a more vibrant business community. Yet a commitment to a life sciences innovation district would combine all of the attractions of our great city with all of the economic benefits that communities can reap from breakthroughs in biotech, clinical care, and medical research. The good news is that Chicago has awakened to this fact. Life science innovation districts are starting to be prioritized. If any of you saw the state's new economic plan that was released yesterday afternoon, you already know this. And today, the IMD and P33 are engaged in these discussions. So finally, Let's talk about opportunity zones and the important role they can play in the transformation of our communities. For the last year or so, one of the most promising propositions about our location at the IMD is the fact that it's located within a qualified opportunity zone. And as you know, opportunity zones are designed to spur long-term investment in low-income communities. This jives with our unique mission to expand this medical and life sciences ecosystem for our people purpose. We're working closely with our partners at CBRE to bring our vision for the 31 acres available for development in our opportunity zone. Gateway Chicago, which I mentioned earlier, has made tremendous progress and recently opened its first retail establishment, a Starbucks, at the corner of Damon, Ogden, and Harrison. And investors and developers, you know what they say. When Starbucks opens in a neighborhood, you'd better hurry up. Our qualified opportunity zone sweetens the deal for development even further. It allows investors to delay and diminish their taxes on their capital gains through 2026, and after a minimum 10-year hold, eliminate all capital gains taxes on profits from the fund investments. That's an incredible incentive for companies who are considering making the IMD their home, and almost a no-brainer for companies who are looking for sustainable investment opportunities. We want the companies that invest to do well, but IMD's interest is in using that investment to transform communities. It's part of the powerful life sciences ecosystem that we're creating, one that brings new joy to residents, a place where they can safely live, work, and play with solid jobs for even those that have a high school education. As I mentioned earlier, we have four projects now in our opportunity zone that are progressing through the approval process, and we expect to announce those projects by the end of this year, primarily because one of the three, the largest tax breaks that qualified opportunity zones offers, is coming up to a very important deadline on December 31st. Furthermore, thanks to the fact that we are a special use zoning district, our projects are planned on a comprehensive basis and involve the entire medical district instead of zoning for individual parcels independently. This not only allows us more flexibility, but it effectively reduces the approval process timeline, a very important point given the restrictions and regulations that surround the opportunity zone timelines. We've watched with great interest in the recent debates about opportunity zones. In a highly critical piece last month, the New York Times portrayed some qualified opportunity zones as a windfall for the rich, with a depressing account of the rich getting richer and the disadvantaged who reside in these zones being priced out of their homes, the very thing that opportunity zones were designed to prevent. Well, I am here to let you know that our approach in the IMD is fundamentally different. We are creating an innovation life sciences district, a proven framework for creating diverse jobs. Our returns will be in jobs, people, and joy. Yes, I said joy. Because who doesn't want to earn a fair wage, live in a nice neighborhood, have an easy commute to work, and have access to Starbucks? As well as accessible entertainment. I know I do, and for any of you that know me, you know how obsessed I am with Starbucks. But the real opportunity in the IMD is not about investment in a building or a zone, but a sound investment in human capital. It's about the very future of this city, and that's what I'm here to talk about today. The opportunity that we have at hand will have deep impact here at home. The innovation that we seek will serve not only the medical community, but the Chicago community. Every day, we are inspiring those around us to create the best opportunities for community members to access our resources and live longer, healthier lives. More than ever, we need public and private interests to align to assist people in our communities with really smart investments. The IMD offers the best opportunity for not only the West Side, but the South Side as well. It is the obvious place to invest if we are serious about economic and equitable reinvestment in our communities. We will do it on the West Side, and we will establish a roadmap for others interested in doing the same on the South Side and in other cities across this great country. Policymakers across the country and at all levels of government are working hard to ensure that tax incentives created by opportunity zones genuinely benefit everyone. This is our moment to advance the well-being of our city block by block. And at the IMD, we are working hard to advance our mission, because for us, it's more than a mission. It's more than steel and concrete or even science. We are talking about saving and building lives in ways that many of you in the room can't possibly imagine. Life science in itself is transformational. The IMD's purpose is so much greater. But I will conclude today by saying our tagline, "Made in Chicago, Changing the World," is our goal. We've already gone a long way towards creating a vibrant, active community, and we are working toward our greatest goal, namely to align the missions of our health organizations with the people that they serve. It should be the goal for all of us to help not just some of the people, but all of the people. Start it with us in the IMD and on the West Side, where it will clearly have a great impact. The people there matter, and together we can all make a difference. So we invite you to join us in our mission and our passion to make the IMD one of America's most socially and economically impactful life sciences innovation districts. We've already come a long way, but we have so much farther to go. Join us in our purpose to truly transform the lives of the people in the community with a proven model that works. Thank you all.
So I'm just trying to figure out why I haven't been over for a medicine ball at Starbucks. I don't...
It's not medicine ball season yet.
It is.
Okay.
I've had two.
Oh. All right.
I don't understand. You pay, I'm coming. That's okay. How we're going to do that.
Tomorrow. I got you.
Tomorrow's a full day. I'll look at my calendar. So, okay. So thank you so much, Dr. McKinney. She's done so much work to get to this point. I think about maybe 2 years ago, she talked about all of the ideas, and to actually see them coming into fruition, I think that certainly deserves a round of applause. You've worked so hard. She and her team, and I don't know who of her team is actually physically in the building because they keep working. She makes them work really hard. Are they here?
Kate, Gina, Ryan.
Are they here?
Yes.
Where?
Kate, Gina, Ryan.
Yeah.
John, Nicole, Karen, and Jeannie. And
yeah. Chris. These folks have worked really, really hard, and she goes hard in the paint, as do they. So. a couple of these questions have actually been answered throughout the presentation. Are there any other questions, staff? Okay, I'm going to keep it moving. Oriel James, you're not here, are you? So you guys know the rule, right? If you're not here, your question doesn't get answered. But, and Oriel's a good friend, but you already answered his question, so we're good there. Rachel Reichelin, are you in the room? Okay. Glad you raised your hand, because I'm going to get passed over there. She's from Michael Reese Health Trust.
Okay.
Do you know Rachel?
I do not.
Okay. Rachel says, how does the work of the Illinois Medical District align with other hospital collaborations, such as Westside United and the Chicagoland Healthcare Workforce Collaborative, as well as the Alliance for Health Equity?
Yep. The work in the medical district?
The equity.
The work of the medical district.
Yeah.
Hi, Rachel. Thank you so much for that question. Well, I will tell you that our work in the Illinois Medical District aligns well with all of those organizations, specifically Westside United. We work very closely with our partners at Rush University Medical Center and Westside United. In fact, some of the statistics that I spoke about in my speech, particularly the life expectancy statistic, came about as a result that Rush was doing when they were doing their community needs assessment a couple of years ago. And it has been that life expectancy gap that has really spurred some of the ideas that we have around job creation, creation of pathways to greater educational opportunities, and economic development. But I would welcome a greater conversation with you to talk more about some of the other organizations as well. Thank you.
And to dovetail onto that question, Zawiya McElrath from Europe? Okay, not here, but it's a great question, so I'm going to ask it. She just basically wants to, that's the only reason. If your question's good and you're not here, you might still get it asked. Same question, but talks about how do you plan to grow things with respect to workforce development around individuals with records?
So the first goal is to create job opportunities for all, but some of the specific things that we are planning to do in the district, one example that I'll give is with our security element. We are actually working with a team to identify how we can create jobs around that enterprise for those who have come out of an incarceration situation and need to reintegrate into society. So it's something that we always have at the forefront of our minds. We just have to plan those things very carefully because we do deal a lot with healthcare and health-related entities. But that is something that we think about every day. It's at the forefronts of our minds, and we are working to figure out how we can implement programs for those who were previously incarcerated.
Thank you. So, Creola Hampton and Jeannie Freed, are either of you here? I'm glad you were here because I was getting ready to have to say I couldn't ask your question. So, I'm going to combine both of these questions. They both talk about mortality as well as HIV and maternal mortality and cervical cancer in women in the area. What policies and resources are you working on to address this inequity in the IMD?
So once again, I bring up our work with not only Westside United, but all four of the healthcare, the hospitals in the medical district. There are many staggering statistics about health inequities among the African American population as compared to other populations. And so it's not the IMD specifically implementing policies to decrease rates of incidence of HIV or STDs or mortality with regard to cervical cancer. But it is rather our partners that are implementing specific treatment protocols and policies to help decrease. And in fact, you probably don't realize this, but you are sitting right next to the director of UIC's Cancer Center, Dr. Rob Nguyen. Raise your hand so she can see she's sitting right next to you. So it is in our collaboration with great partners like Dr. Nguyen and his Cancer Center, as well as UIC and the other hospitals, or I should say UI Health. Sorry, Dr. Barish, UI Health and the other hospitals that are implementing interventions to decrease these health disparities.
So if City Club does nothing else, we certainly connect people. That's a pretty cool connection just to be sitting next to that person and not have known it. What time is it? Oh, okay. I'm doing really well then. So I wanted to ask a question with respect to, again, back to workforce and the people that you are employing and training. You had talked once before about how there are people in the very area who were not getting jobs. I know you've done some work to try to kind of move that around a little bit. Mm-hmm. Can you talk just a little bit about how some of those people, I recall was it a laundry facility or something that was being worked on or something where people who were actually able to take jobs but may not have had advanced degrees, were not in medical sciences, how you're addressing it?
So before I do that, I'm going to talk about something else a little broader. So one of the things that we're doing as we complete some of these developments and also as we attract new companies to the IMD, we are talking with the CEOs of these companies and we are explaining to them and trying to help them understand some of the challenges that we see on the West Side. There is one in the audience today, and yes, I am going to put them on the spot because they're here. But we have a specific priority, I would say, as we attract private sector businesses, because as we all know, private sector businesses are more sustainable. And we are asking these companies to partner with us to create jobs for people in the community. So About 2 years ago, we were in negotiations with an EMS company. I'm going to look at Kim. Superior Ambulance Company was looking to establish a presence in the medical district. And in talking with their CEO, I talked to him about these health challenges and the need for jobs and economic growth and development on the West Side. And I asked him to partner with us by identifying training opportunities that could lead to employment opportunities within their company. And they committed to training 100 community residents to be EMTs and medical billing and coding specialists. And he promised, that does deserve applause, he promised us that within 1 year of their company's move to the IMD, that they would train 100 community residents and that they would hire every single person who completed their training. In 7 months, they had hired 103 community residents. So, Kim. And so, I'm sorry?
230 now.
Thank you to Kim Godden and Superior Ambulance Company. And we recognize that not every company that we attract to the district will be able to provide that many opportunities. But we see this as incremental progress. And so if a company can only provide 3 jobs, that's 3 more jobs than what we had. And so we continue this building block approach to make true transformative change. Now, what you were mentioning, Jackie, is the laundry cooperative facility. Right. We are actually working in partnership with World Business Chicago. They are the lead on that project. World Business Chicago, Advocate, and Rush University Medical Center, as well as a number of other hospitals across the Chicago area. And that facility is based off of a model from Cleveland, Ohio, where the employees not only work in the facility, but they have ownership in the facility. So while that facility will not be in the IMD, it will be on the West Side, and that is why we are working in partnership to try and help ensure that that project comes to fruition here in Chicago.
That is so awesome. It is. One more. And because it's from Mary Sue Barrett, of course, I will ask it. As a unique city-state district, how can the IMD leverage the resource of all public and private resources to realize the potential of your opportunity zone?
That is a perfect question, Mary Sue. Thank you so much. So, as I mentioned, there was a pretty interesting article by the New York Times last month talking about opportunity zones and how the negative aspects of opportunity zones. And so we made a commitment at that time to ensure that the opportunity zone in the medical district actually benefits the community. So my team has been working in coordination with the city clerk's office, also with Accelerator for America. And we are currently putting a team together that will not just assess opportunity zones and their effectiveness across the country, but specifically looking at our opportunity zone in the IMD and ensuring that we develop a prospectus for investment for the IMD that can ensure that the opportunities both public and private, that the resources, both public and private, are leveraged in a way that brings opportunity to the community. We actually want to talk to you about that, Mary Sue, so stay tuned. But also, not just figuring out how to do it the right way in the IMD, but coming out of that process with a playbook so that we can hand it off to our partners and other community leaders and organizers on the south side of the city, but also to other cities across the country so that we can ensure the type of transformational change we are trying to lead here on the west side can continue to occur across our city and across our country.
Wow. Wow. That's I know you guys think that I'm probably biased because Suzette is a good friend, but I'm actually just amazed at the work that she does. So I think I have some pretty cool, really smart friends, and I like to accelerate them when.
One that owes you a trip to Starbucks.
Definitely a trip to Starbucks.